be helpful if you could turn to Psalm 34, Psalm 34 with me. And as we turn to that, do you have troubles in your life at times? Do you have fears? Is the situation in Ukraine stirring up fears? Well, Psalm 34, interestingly, just speaks straight in to troubles and fears. So Lord, we pray, speak to us from your holy word here. But actually, there's a challenge with Psalm 34. When I was asked I could preach on Psalm 34, I went, it'd be great, but there's just so much in there. It's a feast. You could capture it in verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And there are so many good truths and realities in Psalm 34. But to try and capture Psalm 34, I'm going to consider it. It's three courses. The main course is that God is a God who delivers his people, God delivering. And there's a starter and a dessert, or pudding, and that is that because God is a God who delivers his people, that then we can be a people who glorify God, praise him, and also a people who respond to being God-fearing. So you could sum it up, God is delivering, so we are to be God-glorifying, and we are to be God-fearing. I'm just going to show you that flow of the psalm, of this meal, just in verses for a moment. So if you look at verse 17, I think it is, let's just check, yeah. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. God is a God who delivers, not just from anything, but from all their troubles. And in verse 5, he has a verse 4, he delivers from all my fears, all my troubles, all my fears. He delivers me from them, the righteous. That is, from them. And then there is a response. Verse 3 is the God glorifying. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And then we have in verse 11 that David moves from praising to preaching when he says, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you fear of the Lord. So God is delivering. So we're to be a God-glorifying people and a God-fearing people. Look at verses 1 to 3, which describe how we are to be God-glorifying people. Actually, we need to have the title as well, which in the Hebrew Bible would also have been definitely verse 1. This is a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. A very odd setting for this psalm. It's 1 Samuel 21. Abimelech was also known as King Achish. David is on the run from Saul. He goes into Gath. He's in danger. And so he pretends to be mad. And the king says, I don't want him around. Get rid of him. And he escapes. David gives the other side of the story here, that he really sought the Lord and prayed and was delivered and his bones were all safe. And because that, he wants to, verses 1 and 2, extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. David wanted to praise the Lord all the time and glory in the Lord himself. And then he says, glorify the Lord with me. We don't want to just sing praises and give praise to God on our own. We want others to join in with us. Let us exalt his name together. But what's the reason for that? Well, he says in verses 4 to 6, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And what he's doing is saying, what applied to me can apply to you. I sought the Lord. It's me personally, David. He delivered me from all my fears. And now what about you? What about you here this morning? Those who look to him are radiant, their faces are never covered with shame. What happens to one David can happen to many who seek the same Lord and Saviour. It says the same thing again, verses 6 and 7. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him from all of his troubles. Here we have a God who delivers from all fears, delivers from all troubles. And then he says, what about you? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And we get from those verses that phrase, if you fear the Lord, you've got nothing else to fear, because he delivers us from all our fears for those who fear him. So God is a delivering God, And then we are to be a God-glorifying people. But we're going to explore a bit more about how God delivers, because it's a striking phrase, isn't it? God delivers us from all our troubles and all our fears for those who are his people. Not just any of them, but all of them. And you say, well, yeah, but I have lots of troubles, I have lots of fears, they don't seem to go. How do we understand this? What are troubles? Are you troubled at the moment? Well, we can sum up troubles, I think, in just two words. They're pains and they're persecutions. There's when you are in pain due to some event, trouble. If you fall over this morning, you'll literally be in pain. But also for Christians, there is the persecutions that we have as the Lord's people. Rejection, snub, and other such things. And these can trouble us, you know, make us disturbed in pain. And that's what David had experienced in being on the run from Saul and then being in this dangerous situation with King Abimelech. But God had delivered him. But what are fears? What are fears? You think of things that make you scared, fearful. What are fears? Well, fears are when you dread danger. You know, that dark place with a noise. I can vividly remember as a child, actually, my parents went next door. I was in the house on my own. My young sister was as fast asleep. And I heard strange noises in the house. And I just wondered what was going on in the darkness. And in the end, I just ran downstairs, ran next door, banged on the bell. My mum and dad wondered what on earth was going on and said, please come back. Because I was just scared. It's that sort of fear of the unknown, of what could get you and cause you pain and trouble. Or it can be fear of a failure, of shame. You're going to exam, will I fail? Or going into a situation and will there be, I just end up with a red face of shame, of failure. There's fear of death. Do you have such fears at times? Yes, we all do, if we're honest, aren't we? Troubles and fears, yes, we have them. But what are we to do? Well, God says he will deliver us from all our fears, from all our troubles. I mean, let's explore that in verses 17 through 20. I'm just going to read all those verses to you. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. By the way, the righteous are those who have their faith in the Lord as Savior, and they live for him as Lord. It's not that they're the goody-goodies. They want to do the right thing because they've been made right with God. So the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. So there's many troubles. The Lord delivers the righteous, his people, from them all and from all our fears. Well, how is that? And how does that happen? Well, we can say it's in two ways. One is that God is with us in our troubles, in our fears. So we can cope with the troubles and we can kick away the fears. God is with us. It says the Lord is close, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. By the way, it can't mean we don't have troubles, because it says the righteous person may have many troubles. And you can be brokenhearted and crushed by life, by pain, persecutions, events. But the Lord promises to walk with you. And of course, the classic verse on that is, do you know this verse? I'm going to quote it correctly, not just my memory, might get it wrong. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the darkest place, there is no darkness for God. He walks with his people in their pain and in their persecution. He feels their pain. He feels how you feel. And he wants to hold your hand and take you through. So in that sense, there is deliverance from our fears and all our troubles. But there is another sense that, and I think this is how we have to grasp it, if we're going to really grasp it, is that God will ultimately deliver us from our ultimate troubles and fears, and they are death and final judgment. Deliverance from our ultimate fears. You see, that's the fear of the ultimate pain and the ultimate shame is when we meet God, and will we be in shame and cast away into darkness and pain? You know, an interesting thing I read this week, I found this so telling, was the early Christians loved to read Psalm 34 and knew it well. And you know also that into the Roman times, the early Christians had to go into the arena, literally thrown to the lions, knowing they were going to die. And they used to recite Psalm 34 to themselves and to the Lord. The Lord will deliver me from all my troubles. The Lord will deliver me from all my fears. He's a redeeming, saving God. And of course, it didn't mean they escaped from death. Oh no, they were going to die and then face God in judgment. But they knew what we can know, and that is that death is a bridge to meet the Lord of glory, if we know him as Saviour and friend and as Heavenly Father. And it means we can be rejoicing with him, free from all pains and persecutions. And that we, though our bones may be broken, and I'm sure some of the martyrs' bones were broken by the lions, their bones would become unbroken at the last day when they'd be raised from the dead forevermore. So you see, what we ultimately fear is dealt with by our Lord Jesus. So we, in that sense, we can be delivered from all our fears and all our troubles. And there's a wonderful link with our Lord Jesus, because do you know that verse? Did the verse here, verse 20, ring any bells? He protects all his bones, that's the righteous man or person, not one of them will be broken. Where's that quoted in the Bible? The crucifixion, isn't it? Yeah. John 19. I'll just read it to you. John 19, verses 33 and 36 say this. And that is, when they came to Jesus, who was on the cross, and found that he was already dead, that's the Roman soldiers found him, they did not break his legs, because they're going to break the legs of everyone, so they just would then be out of breath, putting it nicely, and completely die. But they didn't break his legs, because he was already dead. And verse 36 says, these things happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken. So it was. And what's the link here with David? You may go, well, David was the righteous one who suffered greatly but went on to be a glorious king. And the Lord Jesus, he was crushed in spirit, was he not? And brokenhearted at the cross. And his bones were not broken, but he went through those terrible troubles. If he went literally through hell on the cross, he experienced the pain of hell there, not for himself but for us. He who knew no wrong and sin took all our wrong and sin on him, that we might be right with God and not condemned and not in shame. And his bones were not broken means he was alive again, because for David, when he said those words, not one of my bones will be broken, meant, hey, I was delivered. I'm still alive. I was delivered from the king. I'm walking around with not broken bones. I'm alive. And Jesus was raised from the dead. And he was therefore alive evermore. And he's the living Saviour who can walk with us in our troubles and deliver us from all ultimate pain and agony and troubles. He's risen and alive. So we would not suffer the pains of hell. Now what about you and me today? Well, let's just speak about that ultimate fear and trouble. The fear of shame before God, being cast in his away and into punishment. Remember Jesus' words, don't fear him, it's the devil who can kill you, or fear anyone who can kill you, fear him who can cast your body and soul into hell. And what are we going to do when we, are we squeaky clean? We're messed up in life. I remember as a child once, again, that I've had terrible pains in my stomach. I was about 10 years old. And again, I was in the house on my own. And I just suddenly thought, I'm going to die. And then this awareness came, I'm going to face God. I wasn't a believer or a Christian or anything, but how will I do? It's terrible. Please keep me alive. Thank the Lord he did keep me alive. And later I came to know him, Saviour and Lord. But the point is, will we be red-faced? Will we be in shame? Will we be condemned? Well, the psalmist says to us, David, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears, verse 4. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. He says in verse 22, the Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Whilst it says, evil will slay the wicked. The foes, the righteous, will be condemned. Verse 21. So we have the wonderful truth. We can have no red-faced shame, but radiant faces before God, because all our guilt, all our punishment was taken by the one whose bones were not broken at the cross, who rose again for us. He died for all our trespasses and wrongs, and he rose that we'd be declared not condemned, perfect and righteous before God forever. So we can have radiant faces and no shame, and be delivered from our ultimate fears and troubles. Do you know that? Those things that still pain you in your life, you wish that they had not been there in your thoughts, your words or deeds before God. Can you say this morning, you know, like the words were saying in the song, God is for me, not against me. I'm covered in all that Jesus has done and his perfection, his salvation. Therefore, I have no fears before God. And I can face judgment day like the martyrs did, reciting Psalm 34, saying, I will be delivered out of all of my troubles and all of my fears. May it be so for each of us. What about your fears in life as well? It's not, because salvation concerns the whole person and the whole of our lives. You know, have you got fears and troubles this day? What about the Christians in Ukraine this day? How are they going to face this day? How would you face it with bombs going over your head and not knowing whether you're going to lose your country and your freedoms? Well, the Christians can turn, as you can turn, to Psalm 34 and say, the Lord will deliver me from all my troubles and fears. He's a redeeming God. And they can say things like, therefore, actually, God will be at work with me. He will walk with me. And he will refine me. You know, there's an ABC of life. Adversity brings Christ-likeness. ABC. Adversity brings Christ-likeness. God is working for always for our ultimate good, which is that we'll be more restored to as we should be, the image of God in Christ. And he's working that. So they could say that. The Lord is walking with me and refining me. And even if I lose my freedoms, I'm still free in Christ. We were singing that, weren't we? But they can say that. You can say that. I'm free in Christ in the sense that I know God himself. He's my heavenly Father. And I'm freed now to live more and more for him in a God-fearing way. Can you say the same? Most of us will actually, I think, have lesser troubles and fears than those in Ukraine. But it's the same medicine. The Lord is going to walk with you, and the Lord will bring you ultimately to himself in glory. And therefore, can you look on troubles and fears and say, he's with me, he's refining me, he'll bring me through this. He may bring me out of it, he may remove it from me. He may always bring me out of it, but he may remove it from me is what I meant now. But he'll always ultimately save me. And what's your response, therefore, to all of that? Well, remember, main course, God is delivering God. Therefore, glorify God and fear God. We're to be God glorifying. You see, because David had been delivered, and we're to praise God with David, and because the greater David, who went through as the righteous one, suffering and glory for us, the Lord Jesus, we can praise the Lord with David and with Jesus. So we can say, verses 1 and 2, with great meaning, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. We glorify the Lord, it says there, as we extol him at every time, as we praise him, as we glory in him. And of course, it's in the Lord. The Lord God is revealed to us and Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. The Lord who is the deliverer, who is the great and good God. And therefore, we can always praise him because he's always good. His goodness follows me all the days of my life, as we sang. We can always praise him because he's always the deliverer. And he will deliver us in life and in death. And therefore, we have so much that we can praise him for. Glorify the Lord with me. And here it's meant to be infectious. Praise is meant to be infectious. One of the things I found hardest, I don't know about you, in the lockdowns, when we couldn't meet together as a church family, or even when we could meet together but we couldn't sing, was, how awful was that? We can't sing together. There's something infectious about, I'm going to sing and you're going to sing and we're going to glorify the Lord together. That's what we've been doing this morning. And let us do that. In actual fact, that's just what David was saying. In this psalm, he was saying, I've written this now. I've told about how the good Lord has saved me, ultimately pointing to how Jesus will save us. And now I want you to join in singing this too. And that's what we've been doing, isn't it, this morning? Singing praises of God. Or we could say, with the great hymn, when I think God his son not spare him, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he died and bled to take away my sin. And when he comes with shout of acclamation to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And how does your heart respond? Is it not, O God, how great thou art, my Saviour God, to thee. See, when we know God as a delivering God, it should warm our hearts to say, oh, praise him, adore him, give him thanks, and do it with his people. But now for briefly the dessert. You see, God is a delivering God in the Lord Jesus Christ, so we're to be a God-glorifying people. But God is a delivering God, so we're to be a God-fearing people. David changed from testimony to teaching, from singing to preaching. When he says in verse 11, come my children, listen to me, I will teach you fear of the Lord. Now we tend to think fear of the Lord is a bit Old Testament, but actually you'll find it in the New Testament. Not so many references, but it's there. And fear of the Lord is just a basic description of being a believer. It matters. So what does fear of the Lord mean? David wants to teach you fear of the Lord. So let me just try and teach you fear of the Lord. What is it to fear the Lord? I'm going to sum it up in three words. Relying, reverence, and right living. First, we're to be relying in the Lord our God to give us all that is good. Verse 8 through 10. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The Lord is perfect, and he's always good. He's always kind to his people. But you have to taste and see that the Lord is good. If I was to bring you home to my house today and to set a wonderful meal before you, and I said, come and taste how good this is, and you went, oh, no, thank you, you're not going to get its goodness in any way, are you? We're to taste and see that the Lord is good, as the writer of Hebrews puts it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must have believed that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we're not to be self-sufficient like the lions, verse 10, who grow weak and hungry, but with those who seek the Lord and therefore lack no good. Literally, it's no good. The NIV adds thing on the end. And verse 9, fear the Lord, you his holy people. I was translated as saints. For those who fear him lack nothing. See, we go to God and rely on him to give us all good. The greatest good, of course, being himself, But he, with him, he gives all good things of life for us to enjoy. And we should rely on him for that. He is the deliverer. He is the saviour. Do you remember Moses when he said, God, show me your glory? How God responded, Exodus 33. God passed before him and said, I will proclaim my goodness. And what was his goodness? It's I will have mercy on who I have mercy, and I have compassion on who I have compassion. That he is a sovereign and saving and delivering God who forgives us, frees us, puts us in the family of God. So rely. Fear has a sense of, I rely on God and God alone to save me and give me all good things. And you may say, but I don't get what I need at times. You know, it says, God, you lack nothing. But Warren Wiersbe helpfully says, if we don't receive what we need, it means it isn't good for us, and we don't need it at this time. God will give us truly what we need in food, in clothing, and in roof for our head. Remember, with troubles as well at times. So relying on the Lord is fear of the Lord, but also, it might be commonly known, is this reverence or awe of the Lord. Absolute awe. Now here I just want to touch on something, and that is there a right terror of the Lord? Perfect love casts out all fear, John says in 1 John 4:19, I think it is, from memory. Might have got the reference wrong there. But anyway, perfect love casts out all fear. But God is a holy God. He's the Lord God Almighty. He says, tremble at his word. And when Moses saw God in the burning bush, he was afraid. And can I suggest we mustn't remove from the word fear of the Lord a right absolute awe, not cowering, but bowing before him, saying, God is God. He is to be feared. He has described himself as a consuming fire. Fires can be magnificent, can't they? You can stand before a fire and be lovely and warmed, but you don't play with fire, do you? You don't thrust your hand in it and say, I can just do whatever I want. We can't play with God. He's an awesome God. But he's a saving God. We know him as a loving father. But we need to have that sense of reverence before him. And then there is right living. Verses 12, 14, just going to read it to you. David says, I'm going to teach you fear of the Lord. And he says, it will show in right living. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. And here's the twist. Go home and read 1 Peter 3 and you'll find Peter quotes those verses, but in the context of persecution. And you could be scared and under attack because you are a Christian seeking to live and share the Lord and live in good behaviour with a clear conscience. And so we're to be God-fearing people even when it's troublesome for us, knowing that it's always worth it, because the end verses say, to sum it up, that the Lord has his face set towards us in blessing, and the Lord will rescue his servants, verse 22. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. So, because God is a delivering God, let us be relying on him for all that is good. Let us have reverence for him, for the Lord, and let us have right living for the Lord, but in his strength always. Let us, in that sense, be God-fearing, because he is a God who is delivering us. As I said, the early Christians liked to quote Psalm 34. Actually, they used it, especially at two occasions. One was at communion, and the other was when they were going to death for martyrdom to the lions in the Roman arenas. And actually, that sums up well, doesn't it? What do we do in communion? We praise God for the deliverance and the salvation we have in Jesus, the one whose bones were not broken, who died to redeem and save us. He's God, the deliverer. And we praise God. We're a God-glorifying people together. But also, when you go into the arena of life with troubles and fears, we say, I'm going to fear God. And then I'll have nothing else to fear. Why? because he is the God who will deliver me from all of my troubles and all of my fears. We thank him for his word. May we have tasted some of the precious food in there and feed off it in this coming